Now, the Morning Report on CNA 938.
We recently read about a woman in her 60s who sued her 91-year-old mother after she was told to move out of the family home. Now, the judge has already issued a ruling and ruled against the daughter because there was no clear and legal agreement that actually gave her the right to stay in her parents' home, presumably rent-free.
Okay, so thing is, we got curious, right? Mm. And we dug deeper. Now, in Singapore, once a child turns 21 or completes their first uni degree, whichever comes first, they no longer have any automatic right to live in their parents' home for free. But what happens when you're forced to live amid caring for your elderly parent due to disputes? Or, if you're the parent, what's the best recourse in situations like these besides evicting your child? Well, let's ask the lawyer, Gloria James Vetta, head lawyer at GJC Law. Thank you for joining us, Gloria, this morning. First of all, what are the legal rights of adult children when it comes to living in their parents' home beyond the adult age?
As you know, it's the legal duty for parents to provide for their children until they turn 21, as rightfully pointed out by you. Now, you know, being an Asian mindset, parents tend to ask the children to stay there, you know, continue to stay there until you're married. Then, you know, or you get your BTO flats and then that's it, sayonara, you leave, right? But you might have a situation when the child could be the only child for you. Parents would like the child to continue to stay there. In a way, they feel as if they are forced to stay there, but be it as it is, you know, for the love of the parents, they continue to stay there. Parents would start asking, look, you know, I need you to contribute to the house, you know, and that's when issues start. You might even have a situation where one parent passes away and now the mother maybe holds the property alone. And she decides, you know, look, you know, because you're my only child, I want to put your child, the name in. It then creates new issues because you create a legal right for the child to continue to stay there. But what if you have a situation where the parent then feels that the child, you know, you are working, earning a decent salary, maybe have no intention to marry until you're 35, yeah? Or until when you get your, you know, when you're 35, you buy your flat at that point in time. You shouldn't be staying there for free, right? You know, even though your parents were being generous and out of goodwill, you should try to contribute. So, I mean, it always opens a door where it becomes where the parent asks, can you please give me $1,000 in a month? Why use that number? It's because I've had clients asking me, you know, should I be asking my child, my adult child, who's waiting until they turn 35 to get the flat, to contribute? You know, should I or should I not?
Yeah, yeah. But therein lies the question. I have two follow-up questions here. The first being, I mean, obviously as adult children staying in your parents' home, I mean, how do you quantify contribution to the household, right? Because you know, is it rent? Is it also, I mean, I could also be helping out with the groceries, for example. So those are more informal methods of contributing to the household. And yet, you know, there might still be disputes there, right?
Yeah. So what you can do is draw up a budget and then say, okay, these falls into the budget. Things like utility bills, yeah, internet, cable TV, and then you'll be looking at all the other running costs. If you're staying in a condo, it's MCSD fees or town conservancy charges, groceries, and you might have a maid, right? So all this becomes your expenses. Then you have to classify, you know, if there's only three or four of you staying in the property, then divide it by, you know, the number of persons equally. That's one way to get around it.
Right. And my other follow-up question here, Gloria, also is if and when the adult child, say they've gone past 35, right? I know of some people who are still living with their parents in their 40s, for example, for whatever reason. One of those reasons might actually be because they are caregivers to their elderly parents who are getting on in age, right? So that in itself is also a contribution to the household, is it not?
Yes, it is, because you are setting aside your time to care for your parents. Then you have to go back to look at, you know, were you appointed as the, you know, as the legal how do I say, as a lasting power attorney,
Right.
or you know, if there's a dementia situation, then you have the Mental Capacity Act coming in. So you might have a different areas to work on. Yeah.
I think it's quite sad when, I suppose, when it comes to a point where you have to draw up formal agreements, but sometimes the actions and measures like that
well,
have to be
it's
taken,
necessary,
right? It's
yeah.
necessary.
Yeah, it might.
Yeah.
It would be good. I mean, we have had situation where, out of love, you know, the mother passed away. You know, and she. We had an interesting case where the property was given to three brothers. Yeah,
Okay.
and the two brothers was very well off, so they decided, look, we'll just leave this property for the poorer brother,
Yeah.
who subsequently got married. And then, you know, you have that inevitable, you know, the marriage
Yeah.
breaks down, going through the divorce route. And then what happens is, now the wife of the poor brother says, I want 50%. And the two other brothers comes in and say, look, you know, my intention was never to give it to you, but to my brother. What
Yeah.
next then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Gloria,
Yeah.
On that note, when tensions over property arise within families, what's the best course of action? Mediation, legal intervention,
Yes.
or something else?
You see, you always start with mediation. Get a family member that you can rely on. Yeah. Start with the family members, you know, to approach the parties, speak to them. Oh, if you are from a religious background, get your pastor or maybe your priest or, you know, someone else to assist.
How common are disputes like this, Gloria, where adult children refuse to move out or claim a right to stay in the family home, or then the parents also disagree and have the adult children still stay with them? I mean, is this very common?
It is common.
Okay.
It is common. Yeah, but the thing is, only certain cases makes to the press, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Eventually, people come around.
Exactly,
yeah.
And that's a good point that you brought up. So, in this case of the 60-plus-year-old woman suing her 91-year-old mother, in my mind, if at 91 years old, you may not exactly be of sound mind. If the daughter had been a contributor to the household, was taking care of the mother while staying there, for example, I mean, if that was the situation, or perhaps in a broader way, the elderly parent is actually not in a position to demand this so-called rent, what happens there? I mean, what does the law say? What does the judge look at?
Okay, because the law wouldn't impose on the adult child to pay a rent. Yeah. Yeah. So what you're looking at basically is, you know, anything, it is done out of goodwill. Yeah. But if this particular adult child has contributed substantially, maybe paid for all the medical expenses and all that, you know, coming out of pocket, then that is inviting, you know, what was the intention of the parents? Did the intention of the parents were for this particular child to care and pay for me? Then you're sort of creating a right, yeah? And especially if you have already indicated to maybe two or three other children, or you had a family meeting and you say that when I die, this property goes to this particular child, even though there's no agreement, that gives a right to, you know, make a claim for the property. Particular case, if we look at the facts, it's a little bit more of heart-wrenching, because you'd be
Yeah.
thinking, you know, who in the right mind want to sue a very old parents, right?
Yeah, that as well. Gloria, we understand you're coming from the legal perspective, but we have to ask this. Is it reasonable, or even, I suppose, ethical for parents to ask their adult children to pay rent, especially if the child is, say, facing financial hardship, or if it's a younger adult child, you know, 20s, 30s, even maybe 40s, waiting for their home like a BTO?
Yeah, I mean that's where you draw the line, in the sense that, you know, the parents also would have to see, look, you know, I shouldn't be asking for something from my children because I'm giving them hardship. Yeah. But if they are financially stable, or they have a partner who's able to contribute, you know, then maybe they should then. Yeah.
I want to go back to something you talked about earlier, and that was the case that you had involving distribution of the property and property rights. If a will distributes property to only some of the children, what legal options does the child that's left out have?
I mean, they can contest the distribution, but what is the likelihood of success? That's where the lawyers would then have to advise. because every circumstances is different. You know, when the parent intended to leave out this particular child as a beneficiary, there must be a reason. And sometimes it's stated in the will, or maybe they have a written letter attached to the will explaining why this particular child need not be provided for. Yeah, so you have to respect the wishes of the dead.
Yeah. Let's change gears here a little bit, Gloria. Let's take a look from the perspective of the parents now. If there are parents who have adult children living under their roof but don't wish to provide for them everything free of charge, what should they do?
I mean, they should politely, you know, politely tell them, tell them that, look, you know, I'm growing old. I need to use my retirement funds for myself. Yeah, I shouldn't be providing for you. You can't have the mindset that just because you gave birth to me for life, I'm condemned to, you know, to provide for you. That's not it. That's not how it is. I think if you have seen Judge Judy, you know, the American TV drama show, you would have seen quite a number of cases like that. This entitlement, you know, so you have to get off this entitlement mind. Need to throw this into part of the discussion. You are aware there's a parents' maintenance tribunal, right? So any parent above the age of 60 could make a claim. Yeah.
Right.
I'm not giving any hints, but
I mean that's also playing into the culture, as you mentioned right at the start of the conversation, the Asian culture where filial piety is a very has a very strong note in our culture, even in Singapore, even in modern Singapore. And there have been arguments about whether or not that filial piety should translate to a financial feature. But that's another conversation for another time, Gloria.
Yes,
I'm also wondering now whether children are allowed to evict their parents. So this is like the flip side of the situation. I mean, is there any age children must provide for their parents, or can they evict their parents?
I mean, it is, as I said, very painful, you know, to be talking about such topics, but there are real situations like that. Yeah. But if the parents have nowhere to turn to, I mean, how can you be doing that? Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have to look at the big picture, at the circumstances. So what if it's a parent that was never cared for you from day one, and all of a sudden out of the blue just shows up? We've had cases like that, you know.
Yeah,
the mysterious appearance from the disappearance, and that kind of situation, you feel as if, you know, why do I have to be obligated to provide for them?
And the law is quite clear on you know what rights should be given to that parent in that situation.
Yes. I think it's tricky, right? Because different cases, they require different scrutiny and in terms of the facts and all that. Gloria, we're just a bit curious here, you know, in terms of your experience dealing with cases like this, do you see a difference between, say, HDB versus private versus landed property cases?
We're curious about that also, because obviously in a landed home, you'd have more literal rooms to have to host the child if the child adult child chooses to stay, because we've heard of cases where an elderly parent, a senior parent staying in a landed bungalow or a good class bungalow or just a semi-detached home kicked out her own child simply because they were not paying rent. So
and it's the value of that property as well, right? That comes into play.
I mean, as I said, every case is different, as you rightfully pointed out. Yeah. So it also depends on the situation. What if that particular adult child has been taking advantage? We don't know whether the mothers or the parents, old age parents, idea of kicking them out is to make them feel independent, not an entitlement to continue to stay there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very touchy issue, as you said, rightfully, Gloria, and certainly disheartening if it's happening quite frequently in Singapore, where there's already not a lot of space, and when then there's that inherent culture of having the children stay with you until such time. Obviously, also because, not just because of marriage or whatever, but also because of money, property in Singapore has gotten quite expensive. So it puts adult children in a bit of a tight spot.
Yeah, that's right. Gloria, it's been fascinating speaking with you this morning. Thank you so much for explaining to us, you know, for making it easy for us to digest and understand this very complex issue, you know. So thank you once again for your time.
Thank you.
And that was Gloria James Vetter, head lawyer at GJC Law.